in our class on Spirituality 101. We talked about the difference between religion and spirituality. Religion is about parameters. Setting parameters in terms of like rules and beliefs of a faith or a church. Setting limits beyond which we as individuals or the church should not go. Spirituality is different though. Spirituality is about relationships. Knowing the God of the universe intimately as a vital and important friend in one's life. That's why the Psalms are considered to be the most spiritual book of the Bible. In the book of Psalms, we hear people talking intimately with their God. They pour out their fears, their hopes, their sufferings to God, who they know is not only listening, but also cares. Spirituals are considered by many to be the African-American Psalms. Because like the Psalms, they speak to God intimately of fears and hopes and sufferings of the African-American slaves. And what's interesting, and I did not know until I began to kind of work on this message, for many years the African-Americans kept their spiritual secret because they believed that it was their own intimate conversation with God. While they were slaves, they kept it secret because slave owners many times would beat them because they believed that they would get ideas of escaping and being liberated and freed, and they didn't want that. So they would go off and have secret gatherings. In an online history of the spirituals, we read they had meetings at secret places, camp meetings or bush meetings, because they needed to meet one another and share their joys, pains, and hopes. The spirituals began to come out of the bush in 1871 when the Fisk University Jubilee Singers, Fisk University being at the time an all-black school, began to sing the old spirituals in public concerts. Now, I want to take a short look and listen at six different spirituals today and how they helped to strengthen the relationship between the slaves and their God and gave them strength to persevere. Now, it has been said that many of the spirituals were coded songs to the slaves about when and how to escape their masters, as well as how to find the Underground Railroad up north and into Canada. While this is probably true of some of them, these songs also connected them to their Creator. They were songs of faith, hope. One of the spirituals is still sung by the Christian church at Christmas time. I first heard it when I was growing up. It was sung by the Harry Simone Chorale. And I remembered every time I heard the gentleman start off this song, I got this excited feeling. It just has a call to it. It talked of a star in the east and the need for the people to follow. The title is Rise Up, Shepherd, and Follow. Now, the song is biblically wrong because it talks about a star leading the shepherds. But we know the star did not lead the shepherds, it led the wise men. But what it does talk about is new beginnings. New hope. Now, some of the more astute slaves would have also realized that they came out of the East. East was where home was, and their Savior was going to come from home, come from the East. And they recognized that they needed to be ready to follow their Messiah. It's a song of hope and commitment. It starts with a triumphant note of the rising star, And it's done in the style that many of the old spirituals, when they were sung by the slaves, was done, is that there was one voice that sang the verses. And then the people would come in with a very simple one-line refrain. That God calls each of us and every person to come to God by various ways. The prophet of the third Isaiah, or the third part of Isaiah, writes, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release to the prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion." The spirits will steal away, recognizes that God is the one who will free them, liberate them, if not in this life, then in the next. This passage from Isaiah has been a passage of hope for oppressed people throughout history. In order to receive this promise, though, they need to stay with God. They need to remain faithful and hope in God. And here is Mahalia Jackson singing "Steal Away."
Thank you.
for those who came in late, these are, most of these are taped off of YouTube from old recordings. And that was an old recording of the Nat King Cole show, and that was Nat singing with her in the end. One of the things important about the Psalms and the spirituals is that you can hear the tears in them. The great abolitionist Frederick Douglass once wrote, "Slaves sing most when they are most unhappy." The songs of a slave represent the sorrows of his heart, and he is relieved by them only as an aching heart is relieved by its tears. At least such is my experience. I have often sung to drown my sorrow, but seldom to express my happiness. Well, we might disagree somewhat in terms of you don't sing when you're happy. But I think what he does speak to is the way that the singing of the pain is a way of dealing, of surviving the pain. And there's a wonderful spiritual that entitled, "I Love the Lord Who Heard My Cry." This picks up on the theme of crying, releasing the soul from the bondage of despair. And Psalm 116 starts out, "I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplication. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I prayed, save my life." The tears let out the frustrations, and at the same time reinforced the belief that someone was listening. Someone heard and felt their anguish. God said to Moses when he talked to him out of the burning bush, "I have heard the cry of my people in Egypt." Thus one trusts that God has heard their cry. Now, I could not find a recording of this that I felt did it justice, so you're going to have to give it justice. Hymn number 362 in the Blue Hymn. A number of Watts's poems or words and used some of them in their spirituals. They gave it their own dictum. We find this same idea of finding hope for pain in another well-known spiritual. There is a balm in Gilead. Now, what is interesting is that this spiritual turns the Bible passage that it refers to on end. In Jeremiah 8, we hear, "My joy is gone, grief is upon me, my heart is sick. Hark, the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored?" Now, Gilead was known as a place of healing. It was also known for the balm that was made there, a substance used in perfumes derived from the resinous juices of the balsam poplar. In addition to being used in perfumes, the balm of Gilead is used to soothe ailments of the mucous membranes. It is taken internally to ease coughs and respiratory infections. The balm is also said to relieve laryngitis and sore throats. Now, Jeremiah was talking about the sins of the people, wondering if there was no balm that could save the people from their sin. The spiritual recognizes that there is a balm. The balm that is the Son, Jesus Christ. There is someone who will take care of them, and all they have to do is remain faithful. They may not be able to preach like Peter or Paul, but each one of them can tell the story of the life and the grace of Christ in their own life, and they must do that. And that will be their balm. Here's Mahalia Jackson singing Balm in Gilead.
Yeah.
Kings. In fact, I think it's in the lesson notes for next week. We hear the story of Elijah being carried up into heaven in a fiery chariot. This then is the background for the spiritual swing low, sweet chariot. What's interesting is that Elijah had a difficult life. I think all prophets had difficult lives. But Elijah, we know for sure from the accounts in the Bible. He had to constantly go against the power of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And because of his contest on Mount Carmel with the priests of Baal and his subsequent killing of them, and these were Jezebel's priests, Elijah has to go on the run. He becomes a hunted man. And the slaves connected with this aspect of Elijah. And they noted that in the end, God took Elijah to be with him. This was their hope. That since Elijah had suffered and been a hunted man, they too could look forward to a life with God. They suffered in this life, but they would be rewarded in the next by being with God. And this is Marion Williams singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
Coming.
While there was hope for the next life, there was also a belief that life could change for them in this life. And in that sense, the slaves found much comfort in the prophecies of Revelation. In chapter 6, we hear, "When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and there came a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its winter fruit when shaken by a gale." The day of the Lord was going to come, and God would put everything right. The falling stars spoke of a new beginning. It's interesting. I couldn't find it last night when I was working on my sermon, but I remember reading that there was one writer who spoke of the morning, or wrote the morning after President Obama was elected, as a time, whether no matter what you believe about him now, let me just give that caveat. It was a time for the black, the African American people, when the stars began to fall. Just as the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation was a morning when the stars began to fall. It's a song of possibility, a song of promise. And this is sung by the great opera star, Marian Anderson. while we cannot generally seem the spirituals out of an experience like our African-American brothers and sisters, we can still be touched by the faith and the intimacy with God that they express. We can also let them encourage us to develop that same close relationship with the one who, like another spiritual says, guides our feet. And because of that, I'm changing the congregational response at the end of the service to the first verse of "Guide My Feet." I'll remind you of it at the time. Amen.